Well, good morning. Well, Tracy, Don and I had on both light blue sweaters. We matched. So evidently she didn't want to be like me. She wanted to be like you. So she went on that. So I just thought I'd be honest and like, you win, I didn't. Well, good morning. Good afternoon. Good night. What, are you awake? What a time we live in. By the way, my son specifically asked me last night to bring you greetings from him. He's been in the hospital lately. He had a bleed in the base of his brain and had some pretty dramatic effect of his brain not working and couldn't figure out how to read. But he's better. He's doing on the road to recovery. And so that was a little scary for a while there. But he loves this church and loves the people and looks forward to the time he can maybe come back. So, what a time we live in. I never have gone through what we are going through, have you? You know, the book of Joshua says, now listen, you've never been this way before. Well, amen to that. We've never been this way before. I'll talk a little bit about what responding to this and what does God ask us, the church, to do. It's not the government's responsibility to get us through this. It's not CDC's responsibility to figure out this. Hallelujah. God has all wisdom. How much? How much wisdom? What does that leave out? And we are familiar with this scripture, but I want to read it again in 2 Chronicles and look at how it applies to us. God says, if my people, whose people? Raise your hand if that's you. If my people who are called by my name, how many of you are Christians? You're called by his name. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Ouch. Doesn't say liberals turn from their wicked ways. It says us. I was at a prayer conference this week. In our area, we have an amazing group of about 100 churches and ministries that meet together once a month. And this was a kind of a longer one just to be together for a whole day. And God really convicted me of how I was using a wrong measuring stick of how things are going. I was using things go smoothly, things go well. Things are problemless, issueless. I said, now it's going good. God says, that's not my measuring stick. And I was deeply convicted of that I needed to turn from my wicked ways of looking to circumstances to determine if I can be feel good or not. Then it says, turn from their wicked ways, then, now that's a sequential word. The first have to take place before the then can happen. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. I want to call attention to one little phrase in here that's just grabbed me. And it says, if my people called by name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You know, it's really interesting. God never says to seek his will or his commandments or his love. They never say it. I think it's 120, over 100 times it says seek my face in scripture. Why face? Doesn't it even say seek his presence? It says seek his face. Why face? And I want to suggest today, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, hear this next statement. Because the face is the center of communication. We don't communicate with our knees or our bellies or arms. We communicate all about the face. And God is inviting us into a communicative exchange relationship with him. Seek my face. Let's think about the face. Now, I'm sure all of you have had Zoom in the last year. Zoom gatherings, Zoom meetings. I'm on a city council gathering in my little town I live in, and we have Zoom meetings once a month, and it's interesting that three of us leave our cameras on and the rest of them turn them off because they don't want anyone to see their face. Or maybe their hair's not combed. I don't know. But you know, turning even the Zoom on increases the level of communication. Do you know that 70% of communication is nonverbal? 70% is not the words that come out of your mouth. It's tone of your words. It's expression. It's all kinds of other things. How you stand. I took a hospital chaplaincy course one time, and the 90% of that entire course was nonverbal communication with patients in the hospital, because you don't really have a lot to say when someone's dying. There's not a lot of words that are be real comforting, but your presence is. So I want to talk about seeking God's face. Now, with masks these days, you know, we were in the airport yesterday, and I was smiling at people and realized they couldn't tell I was smiling. So that's a little bit of a hindrance these days. But I do want to talk about his face. The ultimate blessing of God is his face to shine upon us. The ultimate chastisement of God is to remove his face from us. Think about that. He says, seek my face. He wouldn't say seek it if he wasn't willing to give it. Right. Seek my face. Well, first of all, it's the eyes. Eyes communicate more than your mouth. Look at somebody. Come on, you got to move your head. It's on a swivel. Come on, you can do it. At home, look at someone else in the room. What's the first thing you look at? The eyes. And you don't know you're looking until you look at the eyes. But the eyes have a way of conveying something, and God says, I want you to seek my face so that we can see his eyes. Because when we get acquainted with somebody, you know their eyes. What color is the person's eyes sitting next to you? Don't look. Do you know? Well, husbands and wives, you better know. The incredible invitation of God. To seek his face, the eyes. And also it's his smile. Ever thought about God smiling on you? You won't know it unless you don't seek his face. And it's the smile of approval. And when you were kids, you kept bringing something to your parents. Wookie, I did. And you were just looking for that smile of approval. Why does God say seek his face? So he can give you this smile of approval. Because there's something about that that connects and conveys something that just words alone are not as complete. Then we have his expression. What's your expression? I want you to challenge you this week. Think about your expression as you walk around at Walmart or the grocery store or wherever you at work. Just think about your expression, because you are communicating, whether you like it or not, by your expression. And you can do amazing things just by an expression. You've heard people say they light up a room when they walk in. Well, how do they do it? By their expression. That's what God wants us to reflect his. Also, obviously, it's the mouth. Let me ask you a question. And be honest with yourself. Really, really, don't just give me a religious answer. Give me a real heart answer. Do you believe God wants to speak to you? Does he want to? Let's say that you and I were to drive in a car together to Cincinnati. Think we'd talk? What is that, a couple hour drive? Hour and a half? Can you imagine sitting in a car with somebody for an hour and a half and not saying anything? That would be awkward at best. So do you believe that God's with you when you're driving, when you're doing dishes, when you're vacuuming, when you're doing laundry? Is he there? See, the biggest thing about hearing the voice of the Lord is to believe that he wants to speak to you. I can't imagine, as a father, not having the opportunity and privilege of speaking to my kids. On my phone, I customize the rings just for a few people, and my kids are one of them. And so I know who it is just by the ding-a-ling on my phone. And when I hear that, every time it's, oh. I have one for Donna, too. It's called, the ringtone is called anticipation. But it's because I get to communicate with my kids. Now, I'm a poor father, just a human. How about the perfect father? See, the greatest hindrance to you hearing from the Lord is you don't believe he wants to, or think he can, or desires to. And the second greatest hindrance is you don't think you're able. That's just for the spiritual people or the really holy people or something. Why does God say seek his face? Because it's the center of communication. And he wants an exchange of communication. And communication should not be one way, but an exchange. Another thing about the face is your ears. I'm going to look at Psalm 18. Have your Bible handy. I encourage you to turn there. Psalm 18. Now, the days of the Bible, they did things a little bit more formally than we do. You know, when they greeted somebody, especially a dignitary, O King, live forever. Now, you know they weren't going to live forever. It was just a way that we do the same thing. How are you doing? We're not really wanting to know how a person's doing, but that's kind of our normal greeting. So in those days, the first two verses here are just David saying, yo, God, how's it going? A little bit different than those days. Now listen to what David said to God. Well, verses starting with verse 3. I called the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I've been saved from enemies. Verse 4, the cords of death entangled me. Who is writing this? David, King David, the only person that's ever said, a man after my own heart. King David was discouraged. He was depressed. He was down. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me, and the snares of death confronted me. David wasn't having a good day. Would that be fair? David was down. You know, we don't do well as a church of Jesus Christ dealing with people that are discouraged and down and depressed. We haven't done well. Well, come on, you're supposed to have joy. Where's your joy? That doesn't really help a depressed person. David was depressed, a man after God's own heart. Now, could he have found a way to work his way out of it? Sure, but he didn't. He was down. And it says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. He was in distress. Would that be a pretty fair statement? I cried to my God from help, from his temple. He heard my voice. Whose voice? My cry came before him into his ears. Do you believe God hears you? I mean, really deep, do you believe God hears you? According to God's word. Now, in scripture, temple is always the symbol in the Old Testament of a place of worship. From his temple, he heard my voice. Do you believe it? Wouldn't it be terrible if heaven had technology? So you prayed. Heaven says, thank you for calling heaven this morning. If your prayer is concerning finances, please press 1. If your prayer is concerning unsaved love runs, please press 2. And you press the button, and then you get a secretary. Well, thank you. I'll put your message right through. My friends, it says it came to his ears. Not a secretary's ears, not a computer's ears, into the ears of Almighty God. That's why I seek my face, because I want to hear what you have to say. God says, seek it, because I want to give it. Now listen to what happened to David. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundation of the mountain shook. They trembled because he was angry. Who was angry? God. Why was he angry? Because of David's failures, right? No. Listen to me. God is angry today. But he's not angry at you. He's angry for you. He's angry at the success of your enemy. Now look how mad God is. Smoke rose from his nose. That's where you get the term holy smoke. Come on. Holy smoke. Anybody ever been so mad that smoke came out of your nose? It did on God's. This is a little bit more than irritated. You hearing me? And then it says fire came out of his mouth. This is really, really upset, angry God. Here comes God and he's ticked. Now listen to what he does. He parted the heavens and came down, and he did some business. I would not want to be your enemy. I would not want to be another brother's and sister's enemy, because then you're an enemy of God. He says he came down, and I don't have time to read it, but it goes all kinds of stuff. It says great bolts of lightning. He has weapons we don't have. Anybody ever use lightning as a weapon? And it says he routs the enemy. What's a rout? Now, in an athletic contest, a rout is not 2-1. I played a football game in high school. We got beat 66-0. That is a rout. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, the winner was never in question who was going to win the contest. Never in doubt who is the victor. It's never in doubt who's the victor. He routs our enemies. Bennett says, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. Took hold of whom? Depressed David. That means you and me. He took hold of me and drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued you from my powerful enemy because they were too strong for me. Anybody relate to that? And then verse 19 says, he brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. God delights in you even when you're depressed. Even when you're not doing what you should do to get out of it. And we don't have the scoop shovel out, making a path. Even when we don't do that, he still delights in us. Now, should we do that? Yes. But sometimes we don't. But God has not left. Also, back to the face. Another aspect of God is his tears. You don't have tears anyplace else except the face. Now, Pastor Jeff and Tracy tell us about their memory verse. Well, I had my first memory verse. I was required to memorize verses. Well, I did the shortest one in the Bible. Anybody know what it is? What? Jesus wept. I got a verse memorized. I did it when I was 5 years old. But why did Jesus weep? Let's look at the context of this. This is around Lazarus. And Lazarus had died. And he says to his disciples, come, let's go. I'm going to wake him up. He told them what he was going to do. But he got into the town, and these people were crying, and his sisters came. They're, where you been? And it says, Jesus wept. Why? He didn't weep for Lazarus because he was just going to go raise him from the dead. It wasn't Lazarus he's weeping for. It was the pain of his kids. And that's the face. See, God has such compassion for you in your need, in your struggles, in the heartaches. Jesus weeps because we can see his face. And how we respond today and the dilemmas that we face like never before. Never, ever before. As we seek his face. Because there, we see his eyes. There, we see his expression. There, we see his smile of approval. There, we listen to his voice. There, he know that he hears the cry. And there, the compassion of his tears. Why does God say, seek my face? Because that's where he lives. And he wants us to join him. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. God wants to speak to you today. He's more interested in speaking to you than you are to hearing what he has to say. Because he's your Father. And as we go from this place, or we turn the TV off at home, I want to challenge us that we leave here with the purpose and intention of seeking His face. It's not a temporary thing. It's not something we do. We don't go in and out of it like we do a building. It's a connection of communication because the face is the center of communication. That's why God says, come here, seek my face. Whose face do you like to look at? Parents, we all did it. You put your babies down and they're asleep and you just went into their crib and you just looked. Anybody? You just looked. They weren't doing nothing. They didn't need anything. You were just looking at them for you because you couldn't believe how much love you felt for that little tiny thing. Are you with me? That's a parent, and God's the perfect parent. And He comes into your room at night, you don't even notice, and He just looks at you. There. That's my boy. That's my girl. And He says, please seek my face. Because I want to have this love and this exchange go back and forth with communication. I want you to know, I want to talk to you. I want to hear His voice. Remember, the greatest hindrance of hearing the voice of the Lord is a very resolvable problem that you don't think He wants to. Why would He say seek His face if He doesn't want to talk or look or listen or express? Hear His voice is so easy. I can't imagine an hour going by without God speaking to me. But we have to realize He wants to. He wants to respond. Would you close your eyes with me, please? Could you just picture yourself coming up to God? And that He is welcoming you with that look from His eyes. And it's that smile of approval. Now, what do you want to ask Him? What is it that you'd like to have God talk to you about? Ask Him. Ask Him in the time when it's really precious for you. I want to encourage us that we indeed are people that have a lifestyle of seeking His face. Not just when there's a dilemma and a problem, but it's a lifestyle because we are in communication with our God. Lord, I pray that we will be face seekers in the face of God because we deep down in our hearts believe that He wants His kids in communication with Him. Lord, make that real, make that dear, make it precious to us. And may we walk out of this place determined to be God's face seekers, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, can you thank the Lord for a powerful word this morning? Amen. Powerful word. Touching word, very touching. Would you stand with me today? I know there's some very deep and personal things that God spoke to me through that. And I believe for you too. And I want to pray over you this morning as we go. So Father, Do your deep work in us. You're deep, you're lasting. Your substantial work in us, God, that we would truly be people who seek your face first and foremost over anything and everything else, that we seek your face. And Lord, in that, may we find depths of intimacy with you that we've never discovered before. May we hear your voice with greater clarity than we've ever heard before. May we see that smile of approval, and may it absolutely wash away every bit of shame, guilt, and condemnation. Just gone. May we live under that approval of, this is my son or my daughter in whom I am. I'm just really pleased. So Lord, go with us today. Make your face shine upon us. And let our light, Lord, the light that you've placed in each and every one of us, shine to the world around us in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming today. Have a great day.